Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do not adjust your sets. It is the Sour Graps Duo on a Wednesday talking AEW Dynamite.
Maximum carnage.
We can't fit any more carnage.
No, we are top of the amount.
We are at full capacity of carnage.
Yeah. If you were like, can I get extra carnage? No, we're.
No. Sorry, we are at capacity
ceiling.
We're not a drop more of carnage or the whole thing's going to overflow. That is kind of ridiculous interplay you can look forward to for the next 2 hours.
There you go.
From me, here, Alex Lesky, and Hurricane Elizabeth.
Yeah, here on the AEW Dynamite post show for January 15th. Please get in your super chats. Please get in your humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps people find us in the algorithm. We appreciate you guys helping us out with the laundry list of things we ask you for at the beginning of the show. But hey, if you liked that Megan Bain showed up tonight, if you were like, I wish I could have found out about it sooner, or at least the possibility of such a thing, well, darn it, FightfulSelect.com had you covered. That's why Sean's not here. He is at Maximum Carnage. That's why the carnage was so high today. Sean was in attendance. It happened.
He added quite a lot of carnage himself just by being there.
Just, you know, the threat of his drop toe hold, I swear.
Yeah.
It's
either that or he must have put so many trolls in their place. That the carnage that was caused by the clapbacks.
Incredible stuff.
Just so much carnage.
Incredible stuff. But plenty more coming up on Fightful Select too. We've got the busiest season coming up between Royal Rumble and Revolution and Mania down the line, Wrestle Dynasty, all these wonderful things. Blessing to be in this wrestling timeline for sure, but still more contract news to come. Plenty of stuff on its way. But Sean's got you covered. He'll confirm the craziness that's out there and get you the facts, or he's oftentimes first with the scoop skis. Plus, there's the Ask SRS channel on our Discord, as well as behind the paywall. So if you have questions, Sean will do his best to get them answered. And you can also hang out in our Discord with nice and normal, or normal adjacent people, like non-aggressive weirdos for sure. We don't allow any of that. But delightful weirdos like you and me, Alex. And before we went on, we were kind of saying like that, man, the highs are high and the lows are what? With some of this stuff tonight. But last week I thought was great. This week I think the holes are really starting to show themselves around with the lack of stories around titles in general, but we're going to get into all of that and more. So chat along with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please, please do send in your chats and we will read them if you have paid to send them.
Yeah.
That's the
rule. That's the guarantee.
Yeah, that's the guarantee.
Yeah.
So aside from the carnage just being so maximum.
Peak.
Peak carnage. That we knew that there were a few things happening tonight that we were looking forward to. And the first they threw one of them at us right off the get-go. We got Kenny Omega versus Brian Cage. Now, I still have not seen the entirety of the match between him and Gabe Kidd from, you know, a week ago, whatever it was. But I've seen enough of it to know that Kenny Omega is back.
Like for realsies, yeah.
Kenny Omega is the "we are so back" meme. Yes. And if "we" is Kenny Omega, then indeed. So back. So to me, it was funny that in that match, which lasted almost 35 minutes, in which he put himself through absolute hell versus the dude who likes to hit you as hard as he possibly can and yell swears at you while doing so.
That curses. Danhausen would be apoplectic.
I would. that it was funny to me that 10 days later or whatever it would, he would struggle so mightily with Brian Cage. And man, if he didn't hit that one winged angel 11 minutes in, he was done for. And I understand they're two separate companies, but it's the same Kenny Omega. And I'm going to draw that line because it's only 10 days that he should be the same basic dude. And it was mostly Brian Cage hucking him all over the place and playing off the, "oh my God, my diverticulitis." It was good. It was fun to watch Kenny back, but I wanted to see more Kenny doing stuff and not Kenny being like, "ow, my, the general area is so tender. It's so tender around here, you guys." I wanted to see him do more fun stuff. This fun stuff that we saw him do was great. And
sure.
Clage played his part.
Yes.
It was Kenny, go out there and pretend like you're dying. And make everybody feel very sympathetic to you. And he did. And he did it well. And Brian Cage beat him up a lot. Drop him ribs first. Diverticulitis first. Across the announce table. Right on the diverticulitis. And
I hate it when that happens, yeah.
Don't you hate?
Ugh.
Right in the diverticulitis.
Like, it hurts.
It's like banging your funny bone on something, except it's diverticulitis.
Except he had 2 feet of his spleen taken out. It's one of those. Right. It's yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Also, right off the bat, I just want to say the venue lighting look phenomenal tonight. The sound, excellent. I've seen this venue before. A lot of musicians have played there because it's a music venue, but musicians that I know have played there. There are a couple more venues coming up that are about this size that are also music venues. I think they're going to find that the enveloped sound and the tiered aesthetic is something that looks excellent. This was, I think, about a 4,500 capacity venue. This is wonderful upkick to the presentation. Also very happy to have Taz back on commentary. This desk suffered without him when Nigel wasn't there or Ian wasn't there. Thank goodness we have Taz back. Very happy for the orange and black. Surprising upset, not TMDK Orange and Black that I'm referring to, Team Taz Orange and Black. Very excited to have him back in place. But so those things were just excellent to see for this episode. As far as what you said, I feel like there might be a bridge there of Brian Cage's machine, as some say. And also he just went through war with Gabe Kidd, so maybe he's not fully back. Yeah. You could make the argument that 10 days is long enough to recover from that, but Gabe Kidd's a madman, you know. So that match was unbelievable. I will, if you're in the chat, I'll just give you my New Japan blog and go watch it. You have to see it. It's so good. So don't, I'm not really doing that.
Not actually going to do that. Don't DM her. She won't do that.
Don't, no. But this match kind of was what you said. That was the story we were getting. I don't really have any qualms about it. I'm still not used to Brian Cage having facial hair. He's a different guy to me. It's been like 2 months. That's on me. I should have adjusted by now, but it's so weird. Brawny Paper Towel Man, Brian Cage looks great. I'm just not used to it still. And my only, this is so nitpicky, but when Kenny was near the commentary desk and Don Callis was beating him up instead of Lance Archer, I was like, I get that there's like the personal thing between you two, but Lance Archer's right there. And he's going to hurt you a lot more than Don Callis. No shade to Don Callis. I'm sure he was throwing the meanest punches he could. But like, I get continually frustrated by when we see stables and the big guys are just guys that stand in the back. Like, let Lance Archer do things. But I appreciated this match for what it was. And I think the implications of what's to come is a very healthy sign. And finally, one of the titles has a story going around it with the international title, as we see here, because none of the other titles have stuff that is a story and or working. So, but we'll talk more about that as as the night goes on.
Luis saying that based on the Gabe Kidd match, not just back, but almost better than when AEW began. I missed this MF so much, man. I missed him too. And that was my frustration with this, is I know we're not going to get Nuge Kenny in AEW. We can get 70% of the way there for a stretch. Because this was mostly him doing the sell job, which I get is the story, but I really wanted him to announce that he was back vociferously.
Yeah.
And so, because this guy, who, like, with some slight help from Don Callis and Lance Archer, was barely able to put away Brian Cage, is no match for this version of Takeshita or this version of Kyle Fletcher. So maybe the story is he has to will himself back into that place, but that story would be a lot more believable to me than if I didn't just watch him do what he did with Gabe Kidd. And speaking of wills,
I was just going to say, Will Ospreay him back?
Comes out to save Kenny from a beatdown from the entirety of the Don Callis family. And my thought is, well, there's four of the Don Callis family and two of you. So who are you getting to help you? Is it Mark Davis and a guy? Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Cause they're throwing us a 12 man tag tomorrow. There's nowhere they're not doing an 8-man tag at some point. So they need two other guys, and we'll just have to see who those people are. But I just don't want it to be like, can I really trust you, Will Ospreay? Can I really trust you, Kenny Omega? I know we've had our battles in the past. No, you can trust each other. Can we skip the whole, I don't know if I can trust you thing? Cause you both hate Don Callis enough that you can trust each other for now. I don't need dithering. I'm not a big fan of dithering.
You're not a big ditherer.
No.
As it goes. But to your point, though, they also hate the same guy. Like, the guy that drove a wedge between these two guys, they now both hate. So I don't think we have to go hard into the can they coexist. I don't mean to call this out too hard, Arthur Carlson, but I am so tired of the idea that storytelling and in-ring are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Also, I'm dyslexic, so I can't read a book all that easily. But the point being, like, if you watch Kenny and Gabe Kidd, the story was about the in-ring. They had not shared really a promo together, really. Like,
they told a story in this match with Brian Cage and Kenny Omega. It's just, I wish they were telling a different one.
No, I understand that. But to the point of that, I just get very tired because I see this repeated that those are segmented. Like,
I just don't call attention to those kinds of comments.
And well, I do, and I'm swatting it out of the air.
You do whatever you want.
The post-match, very fun. I think the idea that you have the two best wrestlers in the world probably on the same side of things is wild. Like, two of the best in-ring performers in the world right now on the same side of this is fantastic. So
Our own Lieutenant Photo saying just have Takeshita and Fletcher versus Ospreay and Omega and leave the other two big guys out of it. And I'm like, that's fine. I'd rather them be in the match, though, and not doing stuff on the outside, you know, causing shenanigans. It's not, it doesn't count as shenanigans if they're in the match. If they're at ringside during the match, then it's shenanigans, and you know how much I don't like shenanigans.
Well, and the other thing is, they've gotten better at freshening up the playbook of late to an extent, but twice on the show, we saw things get set up with multi-man matches around stuff, meaning like, I don't want this to be like, we're going to take forever to get to Kenny and Takeshita, which feels like the thing, because we have to do all these tag programs first. Like with Private Party and Mark Briscoe later, I was like, I know who's taking the pin before anybody steps in there. And it seems like it's to get to Private Party versus the tag team side of the Hurt Business. So I just don't think that, I don't like setups that just add a guy for the sake of adding a guy sake of someone who can take a pin. But this is probably the most interesting thing to me in AEW right now. So I will, I will take it.
For sure. I think that, the best, why not add a couple of Aussies into this, into the good guy group leading into Grand Slam? Mark Davis and Buddy. Just Mark Davis and Buddy Matthews, just they can hang out because Buddy's like, okay, well, Will Ospreay, I'll have your back. And Mark Davis still hates Kyle Fletcher. So if you need to do the eight man, which of course they feel like they need to do that, then those are the people that I would want to be part of it with Kenny and Will.
If they made the right creative effort, which is a very big if, I would say the Bucks coming back there could get really interesting. But as you said so eloquently the other day, the last time we saw the Elite and Kenny on screen, they tried to kill him with his own diverticulitis. So they would have to make a very, very intense creative effort to repair that bridge for sure. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I don't, we'd have to do a lot to do that. And I don't know.
You could add the Velocities though, by the way, if you're looking for an Australian tag team, they're the best.
I don't know what that
just
is.
Saying.
we did get a lot of extracurriculars afterwards, and they beat them down pretty good. There was a double. There's a Falcon Arrow thingy with a brainbuster on both guys from Takeshita and Fletcher. So that's definitely a thing that they are doing. It was interesting. Like just like okay, so we'll do the big beatdown afterwards to make everybody now we're angry and we get to see more of this. So.
Yeah, this is a post-match brawl heavy company. And that's something that they've gotten away from a little bit of recent. It hasn't been. There was a point where it just felt like every story had that. It's still a little much, but it all makes sense here. And this is probably one that should have that based on the stable that's involved with this. So so I have less hate for that, but I do want them to keep it fresher than they have.
Jambeard saying, better idea if you're doing an eight-man. With Willow Omega, do Buddy and Brody. That way, afterwards, you get House of Back versus Murder Machine, which I would not hate if you're actually going to start making Buddy and Brody into a real tag team.
Please.
Start that out with that. And honestly, like, we I don't think Private Party is long for the titles. So if Hurt Syndicate ends up taking those things, then having big talented dudes to mess around with could be a lot of fun.
It would just be neat if we had stories in the tag title picture. That's all, like proper ones.
Yeah. Dante says Maximum Carnage, yet no Cletus Cassidy on my television. SMH. Do you get the reference?
I do not.
No. Cletus Cassidy is the secret identity, I guess, of the Spider-Man villain Carnage. So.
Thank you for explaining.
Yeah, see,
had it the whole time. Honestly, I just assumed that. Sorry, I'm just gonna put this user in timeout because they came in here to say a wrestling promotion sucks. I just assumed it was a Simpsons reference that I didn't get.
Well, it's usually what it is. The Lucina photo says that this venue felt like Studio Azteca.
It's awesome.
I love the venue.
Really cool. I would say anytime you have a tiered venue that's this well lit, it's going to look awesome. Yeah, and I will save you in a nerdy rant on acoustics, but I believe that when you have a horseshoe of fans, the sound falls in on itself. Mm-hmm. So it's going to sound loud and warm and better than hello, 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 and there, yeah. there. Like it's yeah. great. It's great for acoustics.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic Mercedes Mané little video package.
Excellent.
She's a star, and they should be using her as their like her going on a thing like Sherry Shepherd, and like, oh, these are my four title belts. Would you like to hold one of them? Like, talk about like reaching a different audience.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
And she carries herself like a pop star or a movie star. So like bringing people in who are into the entertainment thing, but not wrestling, but all of a sudden they see her and be like, well, she feels like, you know,
I want to know more about this woman. Yeah. Star.
So maybe I'll be dragged in. That's good. Good stuff. You know, I like that a lot.
I loved this because it was a really good way of folding real life stuff into her character. And AEW used to be really good at giving you small appetizers that kept other storylines going when they weren't profiled heavily on TV. And vignettes that are this well produced are a great way to move that machine along, where it's like, you get a little window that reminds you, oh, okay, yeah. And then you'll probably see them next week or the week after. Right. People that were in Japan, especially some of the women's talent, just stayed.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy.
Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Over there and had other matches, like yeah. Everyone who was screaming for Athena to be in it tonight, I was like, she's she had like a few matches after Wrestle Dynasty, so I think this was a good thing and they should do more of this.
Mm-hmm. Jambeard talking about how we don't have to deal with weirdos, like people who just wanted to come into chats and scream about one promotion just sucking across the board.
That's weird.
Jimmy says, shout out to Wheezy Blonde. Hope she has a great 2025.
She's going to do great. There are some people in her purview that are not going to do great. But I will just tell you that the particular weirdo that was a buzz on the internet today, we had just laughing out loud voice memos about. So she's going to be excellent. Don't worry.
Ricochet. We'll hear from Ricochet. Here's a resolution for you, AEW. Not every, like, if someone's appearing on your program, you don't have to say we'll hear from every single time, because every time I look at the rundown, we'll hear from on the two people on the same card. There's synonyms for everything. Let's find out when, you know, will be appearing. You know what I mean?
Even major announcement and important announcement varied the language a little bit.
And the thing was, we didn't actually hear him.
I did appreciate that. Did you see his render?
Yes, with the blood spot.
With the blood spot on his balls.
He looks like Ricochet Gorbachev, and I like it a lot. Giving Cold War vibes. Nice. Are the 80s back again? They used everything cyclical.
The Pointer Sisters are the theme for this show, so.
Is it? I didn't hear the theme this time. It was on mute on my TV. Was it back again?
I honestly don't know, but I was so excited, so scared, so I just assumed.
There we go. Listen, Ricochet got a great reaction. Crazy yes. Booze standing in there, very confused as to why everybody would hate him so much. Barely gets on the mic after a long time. I was like, okay, no, it's fine. It's gonna be like that. It's fine. Cool. Whatever. I don't mind. And then we get Swerve's music and Nana sliding into the ring with a chair. And if you get the exact right screen grab, there's a brand new meme of Ricochet standing there going, and Nana with a chair swinging, like full backswing on the chair. It's great. It's the one of Kurt Angle like whistling, looking up as Triple H has the fist cock back. It's the new one of those. This was fun. He gets hit with a chair, then Nana dances over his corpse. That's fun. And then we got Swerve coming down in full Terminator mode, just walking slowly toward the ring with a giant chain that he swings at Ricochet, but Ricochet runs away out into the cold, which I want an update on social media of him like trying all the doors that are all locked because there's no re-entry once you've entered and exited. Like every door into this venue is locked and he's cold as hell.
And there's really just fun. A security guard that's like, I'm sorry, man.
And it's Renee interviewing him through the glass. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to let you back in, but your thoughts on tonight? And Ricochet being like,
your bag is too big. I can't let you back in. It has to be a clear plastic bag.
Clear plastic bag.
Come back in. Guys, I know they didn't play the theme. It was inconvenient to my joke. Sorry. This was good. I like that. We have this escalating with Swerve and Ricochet. The early Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan-esque character that Ricochet has carved out into is really, really excelling and getting a ton of live heat, which is great and important. I like that Swerve can just be frustrated by the fact that Ricochet is actually really good and getting frustrated that he like went to hit him with the chain and he moved out of the way. You know what I mean? Like, that's annoying when somebody keeps like getting away from you.
Right.
So it's just very human stuff with very human reactions. But I really, really like the alley that we have for Ricochet. I don't want Adam Cope to be in the exact same alley of like outdated references and nerdy stuff because it feels way too similar. But I guess I'll just have to cope.
Not me. I'm gonna seethe. And then after that, I'm gonna cry harder. Because those are the three things that I said this a few weeks ago. If they're gonna change Copeland's name to Cope, then Cash Wheeler has gotta be seethe and Dax Harwood has gotta be cry harder. Cope, seethe, and cry harder, attorneys at law. Who says no? Let's get it done. Jambeard says Rico being a psycho in a suit. Gives a vibe of a combo of Michael Douglas and Falling Down and the kid who snaps in Degrassi High.
I'll believe you. I was not a big Degrassi girl. But there was a show on this channel called Degrassi Guys.
He fully does feel like a full-on psycho in the suit with the glasses. The glasses help a lot.
The glasses, yeah. It's weird.
The glasses really do it.
It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, what is this dextery thing you have going on?
Mm-hmm. Luis Polito finding out from a super chat that there was indeed a learning tree segment.
God bless.
There was a learning tree segment when It was the New York Minute in Ohio. He called Ohio the bluegrass state. Chris Jericho is the worst. He's the worst. Bailey Sports Card says the Learning Tree segment was awesome. Your mileage may vary, but they need three new members. Imagine this, the Learning Tree versus the House of Black. I mean, only if the House of Black wins in 5 seconds and Big Bill never gets into the match, and neither does Brian Keith. And it's just Chris Jericho taking a spin kick from Malakai Black in his last match ever in AEW, and then they go away and we never see Chris Jericho again. Like, if I don't know how you could say anything positive about that dude after the end of Collision on Saturday for woof in 12 different languages. Our dogs bark in different languages. Woof.
We would also have accepted rough or arf. I didn't appreciate this because Jericho basically said a lot of people are asking why Moxley would ever choose to work with us. And I was like, well, yes, everyone thinks this match is a dumb and a bad idea. And he's like, don't worry though, Mox, we'll be on the same page. And I was like, thanks for that important update of not bridging any gap that is so wide between these two teams. It's its own wonder of the world. It is a natural wonder how deep the gap in the earth is for this. But I do think, I'm wondering if, like, I'm just grasping at straws with this. I'm hoping that Moxley just annihilates him, just turns on Jericho, beats the ever-loving crap out of him, and he goes away for a while. So there's nothing in the wrestling context that I can buy into that would make me think that these teams would work together. And we're going to talk about this with the patriarchy later, but we are at the point, and we've been at this point for a long time, that it's just holding back Brian Keith and Big Bill in the same way that I'm starting to feel like the patriarchy is hurting instead of helping some of the younger talent, which we'll talk about in a bit. But Brian Keith and Big Bill had like their one line and they were fine, but this didn't accomplish anything, and that it didn't tell me how we're going to close the gap between these two teams.
No, but why would John Moxley ever agree to work with Chris Jericho? Well, I know John Moxley for a very long time, and I know John Moxley and I are going to be on the same page, right, John? Which to me just is screaming, Brett calling attention to it screams for them to not be on the same page. And that's what I certainly.
But it needs to be in a John Moxley can't coexist.
In a very violent way. Yes, yeah. Agreed. Bailey Sports Cards, of course, sorry about that. Was actually doing puns combining factions. The Learning Tree House of Black.
Got it. Thank you, Bailey Sports Cards.
I do like the portmanteau. I appreciate that a lot.
We love a good pun around these parts.
Right. So also we know now that we are getting Swerve versus Ricochet on the February 5th edition of Dynamite. So I like that they are combining a match announcement for a very highly anticipated match with the announcement that tickets for that particular show go on sale this Friday. That's a great tactic. Let's see if it works to sell more seats, because you're like, hey, you want to see this? Well, you're in luck, because tickets go on sale for this thing on Friday. Here's the code for a pre-sale thing. Great. I hope that works out for them. That's cool. That's I feel like we're definitely getting that again. So whether it's
Slam
or probably Revolution, will be interesting to see how they do the first meeting between them.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that being a multi-match feud. Like that in-ring, that's going to be phenomenal, I think. And the story is strong and both of the characters are great. And I think there's so much juice and Swerve getting frustrated and Ricochet going psycho that I think there's a lot of meat on the bone with this, and I don't think this needs to be a one and done. So I hope they continue in this direction.
Okada versus Ishii is going to be on Collision this Saturday. They kind of threw that at us. I'm never good after this. Has been my thing with Okada. He just hides with the belt. And now they're actually putting him do it, having him do stuff on TV. Good. This is great. Have him face somebody on the level of an Ishii. Let's say once every 3 weeks, and I'll shut up about it forever. You know what I mean? Like,
people on the roster, like, that are there or, consistently.
You know what I mean? Like, so I don't want him. I don't want him to squash anybody. I want him to have good matches, but I don't have to be like,
yes,
you know, epics or anything. But an 8 to 12 minute affair with a good dance partner is what I want to see Okada doing every so often. Once a month is fine with me too. The fact that he wasn't doing anything on TV for the longest amount of time, that didn't sit right with me. I want to see Okada wrestle more.
No, I agree with that entirely. Some additional Ishii context for people that don't watch Nuge. Him and Gabe Kidd had an unexpected time limit draw at Battle in the Valley that was excellent. They're going to run that back in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Wow.
At Windy City Riot. But I'm wondering, based on some of the jaw-jocking we've seen, it's so hard with Gabe Kidd because he's talking crap all the time. But he's calling out Danny Garcia. There's a little bit of banter back and forth. I'm wondering if Gabe Kidd, after the star-making performance with Kenny Omega, also shows up around here, because that could be very fun. But Okada Ishii should be a blast. I just also feel like it's a deep roster. So, like, let's get these title belts in general moving toward being productive for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We got some movement on the tag belts. We have Private Party and Mark Briscoe versus the entirety of the Hurt Syndicate, including MVP, who I don't believe I've seen work since the Thunderdome era. He's been out with knee stuff for a very long time. That Get Kane was a shoot, brother, for the longest time.
And I think he did a GCW appearance or something.
I haven't watched him. I know he's been back and been doing stuff. I haven't seen him wrestle in a very long time. He got those stem cells injected into his deltoids too, because that dude was yoked. Like, he didn't have great definition, but you could tell there's a lot of muscle up in that region, and he was throwing some bomb, big worked punches. He got to do. Listen, you're watching this thing, and the way they presented Shelton, and especially Bobby Lashley, they should run through all three of these dudes together. But MVP is kind of basically coming out of retirement just to, like, knock some heads around.
Sure.
And he worked most of the match that I saw. He was in there, like, he was in there doing stuff, like, basically playing with his food. He did the baller elbow where he did and that was right back to 2006, man. So, like, this was fun, but it told the story of the reason that they're not mopping the floor with these guys, considering how that, especially those two dudes, have been presented, is because they were just letting MVP do all the work. And what MVP was doing was knocking some ring rust off. And then finally, when it became a problem, he tagged in Shelton. Bobby Lashley got in. There was a whole bunch of stuff that happened. But eventually, when it got down to it, Bobby Lashley, you know, could throw everybody around. Shelton Benjamin hits a giant suplex and a huge super kick and pins him. Like, I really like Private Party, but they did not capitalize on anything after they beat the Bucks. But not them.
Creative. The
people in charge. Yeah. Creative. So maybe it's time to, like, say, this is a shorter reign. You'll get another one. But right now, we are going to shake things up, put the titles on the Hurt Syndicate, and have you be one of several teams chasing them. And maybe we get some momentum behind that that allows you to regain those things sometime in the next 6 to 12 months. And then we see what we can do. Hopefully you can trust us to not screw it up again. And we can figure out if we actually have a plan for you after you win them the second time. Because the Hurt Syndicate has crazy momentum. And they are a very good candidate to be monster baby faces. The crowd really likes cheering for them, even though they're nominally heels. Just make them tweeners. Like make them something, like, especially if you put the titles on them and then they're feuding with tweener House of Black. Buddy and Brody would be great as also, because they also like, people also like cheering for them as well. But they, you know who they hate cheering for? Brian Cage and Lance Archer, who are great big man workers.
Yeah.
Like, you could have really good matches with those guys and allow some tweenerish stuff to happen with the Hurt Syndicate. I think it would really work.
They are cutting the legs out from Private Party so much with that that they can just start calling themselves Lieutenant Dan if they choose to go in that direction. Like, they have to get a grip on this tag division. It breaks my heart. I do feel like that's the right move also because I feel like the Hurt Syndicate just needs some gold at this point. Like,
yeah,
needs gold and or more members, preferably both. But it feels like we should be getting at least one other guy absorbed into this and some titles. I honestly was like, they're just going to put ROH titles on them just because they can. But if they're going to do that, that would be great. And I feel like We Hurt People, Come Get It would be excellent. Like, they can just... Tweeners, sure. I feel like that they're a great team to build around, but they owe Private Party a vacation and a bonus because they have done nothing. I mean nothing since capitalizing on their big moment. Mm-hmm. They're still super over. They're great in the ring. I loved the segments that we were getting with them and the Hurt Syndicate with like the you're not invited. This is a Private Party situation. Right. But man. They've got to get a grip on their multi-man pictures. It is a constant thorn in the side. It has been for well over a year now. You are wasting the potential of these excellent teams, and it's very, very frustrating because I feel like none of the companies that I watch or am assigned to cover, or both, are excelling at that. Not New Japan, not WWE, not AEW, ROH, not really. It frustrates me because it was one of the biggest strengths of this company and is now a glaring weakness. If the Hurt Syndicate is the plan to get it back on track, awesome. Do something with Private Party immediately that's title adjacent then because they are owed and they are good.
Yeah. Luis says, hear me out. Private Party beats Shelton and Lashley and immediately catapults their title run with a statement win, which is what a lot of young talent on the roster need. Okay. What's their plan to do something with them after the statement win? Because I don't trust them to have the plan for that. And the plan for Shelton and Lashley is just to have them be Shelton and Lashley. And it's a very different, and it actually would work. And unfortunately, that does not work with Private Party, considering we've seen that and it's not working, unfortunately. So,
well, to me, the issue is that they've crossed paths now. If Private Party and them never cross paths, that's fine. And I think there's a world where Private Party has a really fun title reign, and then Brody and Buddy at the end of it are like, that's adorable. Like three, four months from now, those monsters are just rising through the tag ranks. Private Party is having intermittent defenses, and they're having so much fun, Alex. And then Brody and Buddy come in and are like, you are adorable, and just wipe the floor with them a little bit.
Right.
But now they've crossed paths, so I feel like you have to give it to the Hurt Syndicate.
Jess Ricardo says, give me an hour to learn to grapple from the Hurt Syndicate. It will take you an hour? He would kill me in 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of things taking an hour.
Oh, no.
This MJF and Jeff Jarrett promo. Listen, okay, I'm gonna read something here from Alan Marks. This is true. Okay. And while I agree with this statement, I'm going to say some things that will make it seem like I don't. Hey, gang, remember that the idea of this show is to bring variety to the fans and that everyone has a place at the buffet. True. If you are somebody who thinks that what happened tonight between Jeff Jarrett and MJF was good in any way, you are absolutely entitled to that opinion. However, you will not like the things that I'm about to say. I think that that's as unbiased as I can possibly be. You are absolutely entitled to like what you like, but also I am entitled to hate what I hate. And man, I hated this segment so damn much.
I liked aspects of it. It was way too long. And I think 3/4 of it I didn't like, but I will also tell you about the 1/4 of it that I did like, and in the spirit of fair and balanced criticism.
Go ahead and do that.
So I'll say I felt like the last segment between these two was MJF trying to be clever enough to keep Jeff Jarrett away from the title so he could steamroll him and go to the title. Like, it was a lot of, you don't need this. You don't need my triple B, Jeff. Like, kind of distracting. Uh-huh. And I felt like in this, there was a cat and mouse game of MJF being up to his old tricks. I don't like go away heat about slut shaming. I don't like go away heat about alcoholism. I'm sensitive to both of those things. And it does make me react with cringe, but it makes me like eye roll, not like, I don't think it doesn't make me like angry. I just want to barf. But I think this was supposed to be MJF up to his old tricks. Jeff Jarrett being like, it's adorable. You think that's going to get under my skin because I invented all that, kid. Or like, I've been down this road. I've been where you're at. And it's weird when, and this isn't necessarily fair because I didn't like what MJF said about Karen Jarrett, but like Jeff Jarrett slut shaming Alicia too is cringier because of the age gap. It just is. And it was so like aggressively unnecessary considering he's the face in this as well. But it was supposed to be like him meeting MJF at his level, I think. And I also liked that Jeff Jarrett exposed some of MJF's insecurities and saying, you're scared you're going to be a one-hit wonder. You're scared your best days are behind you at only 28 years old. You're scared you're nothing without the belt and you're never going to get back there. And I liked MJF saying, I need the belt to shove it down these people's throats. And then the Owen Hart line, it's the old school heat thing. Like, and I actually kind of like that he said it because he went to the place that turned Jeff Jarrett face. So like by him bringing up, you were friends with Owen Hart, why do you get a special day in the sun just because you were buddies with the guy, is like him directly calling back to the moment that we started to feel empathy for Jeff Jarrett. So he capitalized on that. Why this took this long to get there, why this was, I mean, I gave you what I thought was good about it, but I'll let you take care of the bad because this was exhaustively long. It didn't feel like it built off of what we got last week. And the bad stuff I just thought was so bad. Like, so bad.
Yeah. C. Delgado says,
I'm going to hang up and listen.
C. Delgado says, I liked it, but I also concede it went too long without actually advancing this into a match. And I get the criticism. I mean, it did invite it. They fought. MJF goaded Jeff Jarrett into attacking him, and Jeff Jarrett attacked him, beat him up, and then Karen Jarrett got in the ring, and MJF held her hostage, kind of, and then ran away. So yeah, he chicken shitted his way into the match. Yes.
There were fight-em-ups. There were fight-em-ups.
This match, this segment was longer than the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. It felt like it was 1,000 years long. This segment was an inexorable death march toward this thing that we know we're getting. We know we're getting MJF versus Jeff Jarrett. We already had what I thought was also too long of a segment the first time between these guys. I had to pause to put my kid to bed, and I came back and was fast forwarding through the commercials. And when we saw Jeff Jarrett in the ring and MJF walk out, I kept fast forwarding because I thought it was a highlight package of the first segment between them. Why would we do this again? I thought to myself. And then I rewound it to watch it, and I'm sorry I did. Okay, MJF doing MJF things, bringing up the Kurt Angle and Karen Jarrett stuff for Jeff Jarrett, that he ruins companies when he goes there, all this stuff. I actually liked...
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Jeff Jarrett's initial response was to laugh at it and say, you're doing all this like I've never heard this before.
Yeah, that was that I liked.
And then we can skip everything else that he said and go back to MJF saying, oh, well, have you heard this one before? Nice run in the Owen. Everybody else thought that was so, like, what a heartwarming story. I know, it's just you clinging to the memory of your deceased friend, writing his coattails still 25 years after his death. And have that be the thing that no one has ever said to Jeff Jarrett before, which is what causes the punch. You can skip the baby face calling MJF's mother a call girl and then saying that while you were doing an Iron Man match, your girlfriend was letting a train be run on her in the back. That's the baby face saying that to the heel. He doesn't need to do any of that.
That's, no.
I don't know why we're doing any of that. Just have... It was a really good response. You think you can phase me by telling me all this stuff? Everyone's already done this promo to me before. Have they done this one? Boom! A brand new thing. Jeff Jarrett's eyes completely change. And that's where you know, okay, now it's on. And maybe MJF realizes maybe he bit off a little bit more than he could chew. That's fine. You know what that would do? That would almost cut this entire thing in half.
Yeah. Because
that's how long Jeff Jarrett talked about Alicia too. And MJF's mom and called his dad an ambulance chaser. Like, what the hell are we doing? This was...
As the face. Like, gross.
You don't need to do any of this. We know the match is getting there. You could do all... You don't... This didn't need to friggin' happen.
I also feel like there is a tried and true formula that I actually usually like with MJF because it gets somewhere of cheap heat stuff, sincere stuff, pressing the button that sets people off, right? And you don't have to do all three of those in one promo. Like, last week we could have done the cheap heat stuff. This time we could have gotten to the Owen Hart stuff and him getting slugged, right? Like, this felt like they tried to somehow fit in a whole arc into one segment when they had one segment last week, and they have I don't think this match is happening next week. Like, I don't understand it, but you know what, Alex?
What?
There were parts of this that I wish we'd never seen. Untraceable to the human eye.
Me too.
I wish it was as untraceable as my internet connection when it is protected by NordVPN.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Well, I know we have a lot of super chats about this. I've been seeing them scroll across, but I did want to thank NordVPN. They're a presents sponsor for the Fightful Awards taking place this Sunday, which you can check out, I believe, at 6:30 p.m. We appreciate your support and voting. That is a subscriber privilege if you are subscribed to Fightful Select. And we thank them for their continued relationship with us and deepening it. Also going to tell you again on Fightful Select, because there's a lot more of you watching now than we're at the beginning of the show. Over 8,200 of you watching across platforms. So thank you for tuning in. But FightfulSelect.com, all the scoop skis in the world. We're going to talk about Megan Bain in a moment, but she was spotted and reported at Fightful Select. Well, she wasn't spotted at Fightful Select, but by Fightful Select reported that she was at least supposed to be backstage at Dynamite. So that was a big one. You know, we're going to hopefully be seeing Mike Bailey at some point, I hope sooner than later. So that was news on FightfulSelect.com as well, that his TNA contract was up and that heavy interest from AEW at the very least. So lots of contract scoops. You're going to have plenty coming in and out of Royal Rumble. And this whole season gets really chaotic wrestling-wise. And you got the Fightful Select Discord. You got me and this fellow reviewing pay-per-views and PLEs behind the paywall. Say that 10 times fast. So FightfulSelect.com. Hit it up. Soon to be the best $6 in the business or $54 for the year. So there you go.
Jim Beard says that I liked and disliked the MJF and JJ segment. I didn't like all the comments about their women, but I did like how MJF's usual stuff didn't really affect JJ, and Jeff was able to give it back to MJF just as well. I maybe if he had kept going and been like, I can do the same thing that you do. I mean, I don't really think your mom's a call girl, and I'm really sorry about what I said about Alicia, but this is the kind of stuff that you give me. I'm going to give it back to you, kid. You know, yeah. Like, fight fire with fire. Like, if he had done that, maybe. But, like, there's no reason to do all of that crap. And it just padded the whole thing. Meat Enormous says that I'd like to thank Netflix for allowing Max to have an overrun.
Yeah, I would like to thank Netflix, too, for setting the bar as far as streaming services and allowing us to do that.
But then he says that cut time from the MJF and JJ promo and the Hook and Christian match for more Lady Meat Mayhem. We're going to get into that. Chi-Town Spurs says, felt like two different companies tonight. One that has exciting stars and great wrestling, and another humoring old-timers that won one last chance. Speaking of which, Dustin Rhodes. So, like... that backstage segment lasted forever.
Like, yeah.
When Dustin came on screen, I was like, oh, okay, Dustin Rhodes, we're two of the last outlaws. Good luck in your match with MJF. Leave. No, he sat there and was like, I'll tell you this, and one more thing, and also this thing. Don't forget. Also, I won't forget this. And don't forget, we used to run up and down the roads together. Also, the roads where we used to run up and down together, also, like,
stop. My last name is that thing that we used to ride together.
Goodness,
so that's neat.
I get it that all these guys are venerated, you know, legends of the game, so to speak.
Dustin Rhodes has two belts on another program in this company. He's got the tag belts and the trios belts in ROH. Like, he does not need like all this extra stuff. And I like Dustin Rhodes just fine. Like, this company used to be really good at using its legends, or, I mean, a lot of them could still go. So maybe not like in the same way as Sting or whatever, who was mostly jumping off stuff and being insane. But like, it's beating the same drum of like being able to find so many places that you could shave time off for an extended Casino Gauntlet or another women's match when they only do one a show in 2025 is bananas. And WWE sucks with it too. It's ridiculous when the talent roster depth in both companies is so insane.
Right.
But I think
Delgado says Dustin's promo was longer than Bailey's on NXT.
Poor Bailey on NXT.
So listen, like, not only do we have like Dustin Rhodes on Dynamite for the first time in forever while he's holding two different sets of titles on ROH, that he had to come up and talk to Jeff Jarrett, make sure that we know his thoughts on the matter, but we're also shoehorning Chris Jericho into the top title story on, like, there's just, and Copeland, listen, I like Copeland a lot more than other people. I refuse to call him Cope, but but he's also way up there in age. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of people that are having their last run here. And I don't want to really do the thing where I compare it. But however, TNA, where they had all of these old timers show up in TNA for the longest time there and kind of drag things down into the muck. Let's not do that with AEW, please. Jambird says, I am a huge Jericho fan and was a big fan of Learning Tree, but even I have fallen out of the tree of this group. It's time to chop it. So there you go.
I got my lumberjack plaid on today by accident, but it's also it's perfect right now.
So Hook had his match versus Christian Cage. Oh, good. It's continuing. I mean, listen, I'm really happy about the special guest we got at the end.
Yeah. But
when it ended with the disqualification, I was like, can't this just be over? When did Taz get attacked? To start Hook on his quest to find out who did it. Because there were several weeks before he figured out who even attacked his father. Was it 2022? Because that's how long ago it feels. You know what I mean?
I don't think it was quite 2022.
It feels like it was that long ago. I don't think we need this to continue at this point. Like, Christian's got the contract thing. If you say that Christian just won, that sucks. But then you get Hook getting his heat back like baby faces do, you know, and he could put him in the Red Rum afterwards, and you could have Samoa Joe come back to facilitate that. Having Hook win via disqualification after a match that did feel, in my opinion, long, especially if you were going to get this as the finish. Like, Hook coming out like a house of fire, coming after Christian getting a couple licks in, but at some point, maybe 6 minutes in, Hook sinks in that Red Rum deep, and then Christian does what he does. He calls in for his friends, and then you do the exact same post-match crap. Well, it's not crap because Samoa Joe's involved with it. It's post-match amazingness, but you do all of that, but the match is way shorter, and guess what that gives you more time for? We'll talk about that after this.
Samoa Joe's back!
Yay!
He has the coolest hoodie in the world, and I need it, and I want it, and everybody should chip in and buy it for me. So please send it your super chats. Samoa Joe was perfect, and therefore this match was perfect because he was peripherally involved. So no notes. I actually take that back. I have notes. The patriarchy has run its course for me. I don't know if that's like a hot take or not. But I think we were going somewhere with Killswitch and health things got in the way and prolonged a lot of it. Definitely. But man, you want to talk about holding back talent. Like, Nick Wayne does not feel like the hot prospect and phenomenal wrestler that I know he is. Like, nobody else in this stable is getting over. And Christian already has the cash in thing, so he doesn't need to be more over than he is. And I don't think this is done for Hook, because Hook went from the Jericho vortex to the Christian vortex and just let this kid be awesome. I am so tired of this.
I thought for sure that when we found out it was Christian who took out Taz, and then Christian says, I want to be your new father. And then Hook says, no, I'm going to come after you. And then you can't talk to my dad that way. And it's Nick Wayne versus Hook. I thought we were getting like a Nick Wayne versus Hook series. So, like, you know, like, these are two younger guys. Nick Wayne's incredibly young, but two younger guys who have wildly different styles. And I wanted to see how they mesh in the ring more. Like, did we get a one-on-one match between them? I don't know. Probably. Yeah. I remember we got one of those on a Rampage or something, but it wasn't anything because we just knew Kip Sabian was going to get involved, and he did, because shenanigans are obvious. But I thought I would have loved to have seen more of that and less of, you know, Hook with a cast on his arm, smashing through a window and stuff. None of this matters because Samoa Joe is back. Shibata is in the fold. We got the return of Jukbata, because Jambier says we got the return of Jukbata, so 10 out of 10 show. Like, honestly, if I wish I could think of things that way, but I can't. This moment was a 10 out of 10 moment. Samoa Joe's music hitting, him coming back, clearing house, being awesome, was wonderful.
He's perfect.
And
he's perfect,
and
I love him.
I love the act of those three guys together. We need to immediately stage an intervention and get the trio's titles off of the Death Riders. And then there are lots and lots of people who can go after them. The Hurt Syndicate as a trio could go after them. This group, those threes, could be excellent. We got a little a little weird promo about stuff where Jay White made an appearance and Daniel Garcia, but also the Undisputed Era, basically. Those three got Strong and Cole and O'Reilly. Like, they're saying, we're going to have gold by the end of 2025. We, the three of us, it feels perfect for them to come after the trio's titles. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff. You know, I want to see Shibata, Hook, and Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roddy Strong. So sue me. Let's do it. Let's get it done. I don't want to have to wait for it.
Sue Alex. Hire Smart Mark Sterling and sue Alex. It felt like Rated FTR was the way to go. Like, it still might be, I guess. But it felt like they were going to be a trio that won the trio's titles. I wouldn't be mad about seeing this trio against them either, certainly. Samoa Joe being back is an invaluable shot to the arm. I think what the expectation is for what some of these older guys that we were speaking about, no disrespect intended, but Samoa Joe accomplishes what a lot of what those guys are aiming for pretty effortlessly. Like, when I think about Samoa Joe's title run and how perfect it was, like, that is the most anybody has ever done for Hook. And it wasn't because he was in a 12-month feud with Jericho. And it wasn't because he was in a never-ending feud with Christian. It was just a great match that was produced really well. And he became next level because of it. And then here we are. So, wrestling is better with Samoa Joe in it. This roster is unbelievable when you look at Kenny Omega's back now. Samoa Joe is back. Like, the depth of this roster is insane, and this is the closest to a healthy and present roster that we've had in a very long time. So let's hope that the utilization of those people goes through the roof. But Samoa Joe, of all the people that are on, like, kind of the later runs of their careers, I think has a value that is unrepeatable and irreplaceable. And also, his hoodie is so cool, Alex. Did you see it?
I haven't seen his hoodie. He was wearing a t-shirt tonight. Does he have a new hoodie on the shop or something?
Oh, was it a t-shirt? I just saw the design. My bad. I'm sure it's available as a hoodie. I just assume everything's a hoodie because I just wear hoodies all the time.
Taz was attacked on October 2nd. 3.5 months. That just feels like too long, considering that he was feuding with Chris Jericho before for 3.5 years. I think 3.5 yeah. months does feel shorter by comparison. However, it's still too long. Luis pointing out that the nope spot with Joe, Sabian, and Wayne. Yeah. I've never seen him just move to the side of a running person as opposed to a flying person. But I liked that was good.
For those wondering what I was just doing, I was banging my head against the microphone because that's what it feels like watching these feuds that never freaking end. But I do. Samoa Joe's back, so everything's great.
Yeah. Give me ZSJ versus Joe, and then says Tanahashi versus Takeshita is fire. I believe that match was just made, that one, so that was good.
It was made for Windy City Riot. ZSJ versus Samoa Joe had the perfect setup on ROH, and then they never followed through with it. It was when they were both TV title champions, and I did a thing about it on my YouTube channel, which you can go watch. But they never followed through with it, and I'm never going to forgive them.
I know, Pumpkin. It's fine. Sometimes we don't get what we want.
No, it's not.
This is coming from me, so.
Who, actually, last time I was on here, you said, I'm an adult. I can accept things.
That's true. I can't. I did also like, we're getting Kyle O'Reilly versus Daniel Garcia for sure, because Kyle O'Reilly's like, are we sure Daniel Garcia is so good? I mean, come on. So Kyle O'Reilly would be a lot of fun.
Freaking best.
Yeah. Okay. So I asked Luis. He's our moderator and the guy who does all the, you know, super chats and humper chats, and, you know, he's basically our producer for sure.
We're getting our money's worth out of Luis is what we're saying.
I asked him, because he's also the head of research, to find me the match times for all the men's casino gauntlets.
Just to hurt my feelings.
The first one was 18 minutes. Second one, the Forbidden Door one, 22 minutes. The tag casino gauntlet, 22 minutes. The All-In Gauntlet, 25 minutes. Last week's Men's Casino Gauntlet match, the one with the Hobbs won, 26 minutes. Tonight's 13.
Half. Great. Awesome.
Half. Half of the length of the one. Now, the problem with this particular match is that they could just say, well, hey, it's the rules of the match, right? When the first pinfall wins it, we had a line out the door of all these great women who were going to be in the match if Toni Storm didn't pin Julia Hart, but she did. So the match was shorter. Like, we were joking in the SGS Discord about, you know, one of these days, number two is going to pin number one before a third person even gets into the match.
They have to do that at some point.
They have to do it at some point. Watch it be the first ever Women's Casino Gauntlet. Now, they didn't do that, but they did do a half-length Casino Gauntlet match. I was very surprised at the people I did not see in the match. Thunder Rosa, I thought, would be a shoo-in. Deonna, Taya. Like there were a bunch of people I thought that would be in the match that weren't. The person that we knew was going to win won. You know, the best part about all of this is that we got Megan Bain coming into the match that we did not know was going to be there. That was really cool that if they gave us a half-length match, that they are also giving us an awesome debut who looked great and made Mariah May pee her pants. She was so scared of Megan Bain, which I think is a really cool thing that totally puts over Megan Bain. That's great for her to do that. I don't know if they have plans to have a match between the two of them in the works at all, but I love that even if they don't, just showing that Mariah May wants nothing to do with that woman is a way of further putting over Megan Bain, who looked great in there slugging out with Statlander and Jamie Hayter. Really cool stuff, but I thought that they were going to get more women in the match, and I certainly thought we were going to get longer than 15 minutes. I thought maybe we might approach 18 minutes, but 13 was enough. Because you know how we got to save time for Jeff Jarrett to insinuate that women who aren't involved in the storyline are having promiscuous sex.
Of course, and God forbid they do.
For that, though, you know?
And, like, God forbid a woman have sex. So, but I guess he's on the side of the internet.
All right, here we go.
Who's offended by the idea of women having sex. Yeah. The other thing is, like, this wasn't a 13-minute casino gauntlet, and there was another 8 to 12-minute women's match on the show. This was it. Deonna Purrazzo has been maybe the most mishandled woman. I am floored by the fact that they created this amazing pairing with her and Taya Valkyrie. They did vignettes for 6 weeks, all for her to get pinned at 6:15 p.m. in her hometown to Anna Jay to a bad roll-up, mm-hmm. and go on to do F-all. Mm-hmm. And Taya Valkyrie is just kind of there. Like, this is the most badass group of women. You had vignettes and no matches for 6 weeks. How was she not in this? How are we not setting up something with her and Sheeta? Where the hell is Sheeta, by the way? Like,
Sheeta could have been in this for sure if he was around.
I don't understand how, like, you don't have a Deonna and Sheeta. This is two of the best women I've ever seen in my life feud going on.
We've been threatening to do for the longest time. Yakuza, Sheeta. Give her a couple of Japanese talents, even if it's only on loan for a little while, and have them be the Yakuza and have them be the mafia with the vendetta. Have it be a full-on gang war. I would love that.
That would be so fun.
That would be so cool with the costumes and everything. It would be freaking great. Come on.
Really? There were things in this that I liked. I liked the relationship between Chris and Willow coming into play. Willow being the cutest person I've ever seen on the floor doing the smile spot was fantastic. There was a lot of Julia Hart just filibustering in this, I have to say. Like, there was a lot of her just kind of waiting for people to do things. But it is such a... It's so disheartening. Because it's like, we finally get one of these after like four men's ones and a tag one or whatever. We finally get here and they can't follow through on it properly. And because of what? There's no actual reason. There's no actual reason other than poor time management and a lack of follow through. It's really upsetting because I should be on here talking about how great this was. I should be on here talking about how awesome it is that Megan Bain is here, which it is. She looks incredible. I should be on here talking about the stories that got set up coming out of this, but there kind of weren't any. Like, and the winner was inevitable. So I just, the constant frustration with the women's division is like all the progress runs into this brick wall of why can't you just give them the proper screen time to do stuff? It's very, very frustrating. Like, even things like, is Penelope Ford injured again? Or did she come back just to not capitalize on the fact that she came back? Like, does Jamie Hayter feel like a super priority to you right now after, like, the way that we were anticipating her return? Like,
At least she's on TV doing stuff with Julia, who I also like. And not every program can be a title program. I love the idea of Julia Hart, for some reason, having set her sights on Jamie Hayter and Jamie Hayter not being able to get rid of her. They kind of played into that with this particular match. But, like, there are so many women who just don't even appear on television.
You know, yeah, like, at all. It's bewildering. And they had such a good rhythm for such a long time of, I mean, Rampage going away is definitely going to hurt it. But, like, they had a rhythm of there was a second match on either Dynamite or Collision that did enough to propel title-adjacent feuds. There was a point where it felt like everybody was being used, and then they just gave up on it. And it's very frustrating to sit here and women having to earn what men get defaulted to time after time after time. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Just Ricardo says, Megasis on my TV.
She looked great. She looked amazing.
She was presented really well. Her immediately going after Statlander was a really cool thing. And I cannot say enough about Mariah Maiden. Like, she's not even signed. Who is she? She's not allowed to be here. She's not allowed to be in this match. What does she eat for breakfast, babies? Like,
excellent stuff. Also interesting, she went after Chris because I wouldn't hate her as Mercedes' new heater if Camille is, for whatever reason, not in the picture anymore. Like, that could be very, very fun. Very, very fun.
Lucina Photo saying, thank you, Netflix, for allowing Luis to be our producer.
I love you, Netflix.
And I love you, Luis. Tom LaValle says, the women's gauntlet could have been the whole show, and I would not have complained. Could have added Rio, Sheeta, Deonna, Nyla, Taya, Athena. Well, I don't think Athena, but Red Velvet. What's she doing?
You know what I mean? Well, like, she's the ROH TV title champion, but, well, like, God forbid the women's ROH champions get to appear on Dynamite, right?
God forbid the women who do stuff on ROH are also, because the men who do stuff on ROH are allowed to be on AEW?
Almost exclusively.
Why aren't the women who do stuff on ROH? Why is Layla Hirsch in this match? Is she healthy? I don't know. But, like, there's awesome. A bunch of women who, there's a Queen Aminata. Why? Queen Aminata was born for a match like this. Just coming in and throwing giant forearms and elbows.
Headbutts. Yeah.
Come on. It would be great.
Absolutely half-baked effort on this.
Jambeard says, one thing I loved about the Women's Gauntlet was most of it was women hoss fighting. And I'm always down for women hoss fights.
Hell yeah.
LaRon Ford says, shame on me for ever trusting Tony Khan when it comes to women's wrestling. They promoted the first ever Casino Gauntlet women's match as something special and then proceeded to treat it like any other women's match where it doesn't nearly get enough time. It was a 13-minute six-pack challenge. There were only six women in the match.
With an inevitable winner.
With an inevitable winner, which is like part of the thing. You and I talked about this last night after the NXT show, that if this had been when Toni Storm came back, never came back and she showed up with the old gimmick, like, hey, she's doing her old gimmick. That's funny. Timeless Toni Storm, you scamp. And she comes in and she wins. We know she's going to win because she's going to get that match. And then afterwards, she's interviewed and pretends as though this is her first match in AEW. That would have been the shock. We already knew she was winning. So her winning, but as this old character, and now I guess she has amnesia, that could have been a thing. We knew that she was winning, so when she showed up, it was like, okay, well, how are you going to have her win? They had her win by pinning Julia Hart and not Harley Cameron, which was odd because Harley Cameron just got misted by Julia Hart, and then it was just a small package. I enjoy that it's like, not only Toni Storm is she a rookie in AEW, but she's a rookie wrestler. And this is like her third match. Like, she's just doing snapmares.
But she's
just doing snapmares and shoulder blocks, and then she won with a small package. She is a rookie wrestler.
She always acclimates her in-ring to the characters. That was one thing I was so impressed about with the Timeless edition of her. People in the chat saying that it was 8 people. Yes, there were 6 people that entered after the first 2, which is probably where the hiccup
is. This is me trusting our producer, Luis.
Yeah, Luis. We don't pay you
only,
for this.
Who only listed these 6 people. What am I supposed to do? Remember myself that Willow was in the match?
Oh, take my own notes?
That's
idiot. Ridiculous.
He listed 6 women, so that's how many people were in the match.
I do that stuff all the time where I'll forget the first 2 and then just add the entrance. It was an absolute half-baked effort to do this. And it's frustrating.
I'm glad there were 8. If there were 6, would have been entirely too few. 8 is, to me, like a bare minimum for a match of this kind. So I'm glad that they at least threw 8 in there. So also, the thing I said in the SGS Discord is, why would we be surprised that the dude who thought it was a good idea to throw MJF and Jeff Jarrett out there for that segment at that length would also be like, yeah, this is your casino women's belt.
This is
match.
Your first ever casino women's.
Why would there be any problem with this? You know what I mean? So that's my thing with this. And now here we go. Meet Norma says, Kate, I feel about Megan Bain the way you felt about Big Josh and the Stoned Bears. Why haven't everybody made me watch more of her? Respectfully. Shame.
I found out about Big Josh through finding out that he was a trios champion on WCW and that there were trios titles on WCW. And that I was apoplectic that nobody told me Doink the Clown was previously a lumberjack with 2 stoned bears coming down to the ring. And I'm so mad that I haven't seen every minute of that of that run, rather. So I empathize with you. You should definitely watch as much Megan Bain as you can. Lots of Joshi experience over the past year or so. A lot of work in GCW. I think she smooches Joey Janela, so
yeah,
she'll probably stick around GCW a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got our world championship match, which was what I expected it to be. You know, like, I really love Will Hobbs, and I do think he is a future world champion. I just don't think that you did nearly enough since he came back to justify him winning it tonight. I think that if you told me that their plan was to pivot from whatever the hell they were doing and build over the next 2 months to Will Hobbs getting a rematch, especially after being taken out after the match tonight, getting a rematch at Revolution in LA, considering he's from the Bay Area, and having Will Hobbs dethrone Jon Moxley with another 2 months of story, hopefully they actually build it correctly to get to that point. If you told me that's what they were doing, I would be all for it. But I don't think we need to just like, okay, anybody but Mox. Like, I don't think we needed to do that tonight. I think that we can certainly take the title off of him at Revolution. I think that if Jay White were to get the title shot in Grand Slam, you could do it there. But I have no problem with him being not the champion after Revolution entirely. I don't think we should just rush into a new title, a new champion. Tell the real story. If you were going to tell a story, a long story with Darby dethroning him at All In or something, that's out the window now. They've completely screwed up the storytelling with this particular title reign. So get the title off of him by the second week of March. That's a good idea. But you got to tell the story right to get there. I thought Will Hobbs passed this test with flying colors. I thought he did a great job in this match. I thought he did a fantastic job in his promo he cut on Collision about, I've been shot and stabbed. What are you going to do to me? You know, like, he's
excellent.
He's really good. He's absolutely got all the tools to be a future world champion. And that future may be, in fact, in a couple of months at Revolution. This was what I expected it to be. I saw so many people so disappointed they didn't pivot so hard that they changed hands on a random-ass Dynamite. You know what I mean? So this was not, for me, this would not have been a good place to do it. But
no,
please,
and he still
by
has...
By all means.
He literally has another contender. That's part of what was so annoying. I was so glad that Will Hobbs won the gauntlet. I thought that was a nice surprise, but I knew he wasn't going to win because he's actively feuding right now with Rated FTR. By the way, last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. We're coming down the home stretch here. I actually just did a video on my own YouTube channel today about three ways that I think they need to pivot out of this World Championship reign. I think this has been maybe the worst title reign from front to back that we've gotten.
Well, it's bad now. It was great at the beginning. It's bad now.
It's been bad for a bit, man. Like, yeah. I also just feel like I just saw this with the Bloodline. And every match goes the same, and I'm so tired. But I thought Will Hobbs was outstanding tonight. I think the match with Takeshita and the match with him, I think also creates an interesting piece of a character arc of, like, I'm getting these opportunities. I'm not hitting the home run yet, but I'm going to get there, right? Like, there's... character development that can be done out of those. I loved the promo on Collision. That felt like, oh, we've got a big timer on our hands. Like, this is good. Like, this is a top contender feeling guy. Definitely dampened to me by the fact that he actively is feuding with Adam Copeland. But I thought Hobbs looked great. I liked the story of Mox brought me into this company. I felt like that came out a little bit in this match. I really like, this is such a weird thing, I like the way Hobbs throws punches. Like, there's something about the way that he does where it just feels very controlled violence. There's some really good work that he does and little things like that. The nuances are really, really coming together for Will Hobbs, and I definitely think he is a future champion. However, oh my God, Marina Shafir, who was not in the gauntlet, by the way, very easily could have been. Would have been interesting, actually, because her versus Mariah May would hit like trucks. I'm so disappointed by that. I know we already ran it into the ground, but I was like, maybe we get Beth Phoenix. Like, this could be great. And then, no, it was this. Megan Bain is a great surprise, but, like, my goodness. This was a fine way to end the show, but Hobbs captured my attention because I feel like he really shined in this match, but I just know how it's going to end. So I'm bored. Mm-hmm. I think abandon everything that you planned and have Kenny and the Elite take down the Death Riders. I think have Claudio turn on
the Elite cannot. No, I'm firm on that. There's no reason Kenny Omega should be in the same room with the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada without trying to murder all of them.
Well, do the work to get back there. I'm not saying tomorrow, but like, it could be a thing of, we have to bridge this gap because look at what these guys are doing. But they don't feel like a threat. They feel like the Sticky Bandits. They're taking out the Midnight Express on Collision. Like, that is not intimidating. I think Claudio, if the end goal was to get to Darby, I think there's an interesting story in Claudio turning on Mox and calling him on his crap and being like, this was never about other people's egos. It was only to feed your own. We murdered Bryan Danielson for this. You're not doing anything productive in this role. I'm going to have to do it myself. And Claudio just goes on the run. If you wanted to get to Darby, Darby is equally as invested in Claudio as he is Mox anyway. And Claudio getting a transitional reign where he's just demolishing people as a one-man wrecking ball is so much more interesting to me than interference. Oh, Marina Shafir did a thing, and I never thought to bring my friends out in time to run off these people. Why is every babyface an idiot who never comes prepared for the fact that there's a numbers game? It is getting so old. I complain about it in WWE too. It sucks all the fun out of a match for me when I'm watching Will Hobbs shine, show out, look great, do some really, really great work, because I know how it's going to end. It's so zapping the life out of me. And the idea that the next thing I'm going to see is them with the Learning Tree makes me nauseous, assuming that they don't absolutely demolish Chris Jericho, which could be fun, honestly.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do that. Luis says that Jay White for Grand Slam, but he would lose. Cope being the Revolution match, then do the Omega on Double or Nothing. I think Cope could be the Grand Slam match. If Jay White's losing there, don't do him there. Do a different big match for him. Let him win the TNT title. I wouldn't mind seeing Jay White versus Daniel Garcia. That would be great. Let him win that title and do a really fun feud between the two of them. You can do Cope at Grand Slam. They announced tonight it's just a taped collision from Australia. But the Australian fans know Edge. Like,
yeah,
international superstar. Having him be the world title match versus Mox at Grand Slam makes a lot of sense. He's not going to win it. So then you can have, after the match, after Will Hobbs, during the match, Will Hobbs ate part of John Moxley's ear. After the match, you know, because it was ended with shenanigans, because of course it was. They all gang up on him. It's 5-on-1. And he's able to fight him off for a little bit because he's a giant man. But eventually they take his knee brace off of him and then start hitting him in the chair in the knee with his chair, then Pillmanize his ankle. And then Adam Copeland and FTR come out. What the hell were you guys doing?
Great job, guys.
Were you flexing in the mirror with the Outrunners? Just like hanging out?
If they showed us that, I would be less mad. I would be less mad at how late they showed up. This cannot be unexpected from them anymore. And the other thing that we talked about, Alex, I don't get to be here on Wednesdays that often, so I'm going to talk about how this is Eddie Kingston's story real quick, because it sucks that it's not. And also, there's 9,800 people watching us across platforms, so you guys aren't in a rush to get out of here either. This could not feel more like Eddie Kingston's story. And you and I had this conversation yesterday of they either need to abandon this or they need to go all in on it. The half-assing of so much stuff recently is really killing the vibe. But like you had said, and I agree, like if they hired Don Callis in the Hurt Business, all of a sudden this feels like an unstoppable force. And how are the babyfaces actually going to overcome that selection of guys? Yeah. To which the answer is Eddie Kingston, the day one feeling guy, even though he's not day one, he feels as day one as they get. The guy who knows Moxley better than anyone. The guy who's always hated Claudio to his core. The guy who could rally baby faces better than everyone, whether he's cleared or not. Like, he's the presence that you need. He's the guy that can rise up and get this going. But it's like, if the plan is to try and make this last until Darby gets back, no. Like, they either have to commit to it for real instead of the goofy-ass stuff they've been doing on Collision to propel this forward. They got to either abandon it or they got to double down on it. But, like, the sore absence of Eddie Kingston actually breaks my heart in this, because he would be the guy to come and level them, leveling Moxley on the mic in a second. This is Eddie's story, and it sucks that he's not being used right now. Cleared or not, like, just get him on the mic, because he's the guy.
Yeah, if he has to like go out there in a wheelchair with a microphone,
I got something to say, partners. Like, it's, I'm in immediately.
Yeah. There is an oft canceled gentleman on the internet who used to do a series of videos of how I would have booked. And this to me is screaming for my own version of that, which I might once this is all over. Cause there, I don't think I've ever been more excited for a title reign than I was when Mox put the bag over Danielson's head. And I thought they knocked the first couple of weeks out of the damn park. And then they just had no follow-up to it. And everything's been bad for a very long time. But there is absolutely a fantastic title reign embroiled in what could have been with Jon Moxley and a force of unstoppable heels that eventually get stopped. Because what he said was, you all can't work together to topple us. If you could, we'd be done. If they actually do try one at a time or two at a time, but they can't get it done, and then finally they do, that is a great storyline But they're not doing that at all. They've given that up. And also, to me, a storyline what Mox started with has to have been towards something. I just took over AEW. What am I doing with it? Nothing. Like you can't just do I took over the company. I took over the company. You need to and now that I am the dictator in charge of this place, I'm going to do this with it. They didn't do any of that. There's a lot of stuff they could have done to have made this great, but man, it is.
And Alex, I'm going to stomp out the young egos in this company. So I'm going to go after 40-year-old Orange Cassidy. I'm going to go after Adam Copeland, or close to 40-year-old Orange Cassidy. He has not gone after any of the young guys. He has gone after exclusively guys in their mid-30s and up almost.
Yeah.
Jay White isn't a young up-and-comer. And I don't buy that any of these people are the ego problem. It doesn't fit. So very, very frustrating comparing the potential to what could have been. The umbrella story is just not working. It's just not working.
Kylie saying, hello, Kylie. He says, hi, Dynamite was mostly fun. Hope y'all are well. Mostly fun.
There was a lot of, I don't know if I would say majorative fun, but there was a lot of fun stuff.
There was fun to be had in small doses because the women's match was too short.
That is brutal. Kenny's presentation was great. There was some really great stuff on this, but there was also some stuff that stunk.
NS Ogre or Ensogre, I never remember how to say that, says, the show was fun tonight, live. Tomorrow night looks interesting. First time in that building, not a bad place. The building looked amazing.
Yes.
The building looked absolutely fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it.
They have a couple more coming up too that I've seen concerts in or know people that have done concerts in, and they're going to be great. I think we can expect
when they find a place like this, this should be their regional home.
Yeah.
Figure out a time where you can come back to this place and anywhere in the southern half of Ohio or the northern half of Kentucky just goes there instead. However, you figure out, do your market research, how far people will drive to come see a show. This could be a thing that is synonymous. We are back in this venue. Everyone loves how cool it looks on TV, and everyone loves coming to see it because you got great seats. Just do that with a bunch of different places. When you find a place that feels right, don't let it go.
Make it
be a place. Yeah.
All day.
All right. I guess that's everything we got. We got no more things to read.
No other super chats and humper chats? That's all right.
None. No, we're good.
Well, follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media and my YouTube channel, where I did a video talking about this very thing that we were closing out the show with. And follow Alex and Alex Sour Graps. I'm going to do his plugs for him. He's on FIFA Select on Mondays and Fridays. I'm there on Mondays. We do the Tuesday post show together for NXT. Normally he's here with Sean on Wednesdays. Thursdays he spends time with his family like a chump. But I do the ROH post show because I don't run from the grind with SP3. And then Friday I'm on the main. But you can catch us doing PLE and pay-per-view post shows on FIFA Select as well.
Yep. You can on Fridays now we've decided that this will be a thing that we're going to do on FIFA Select, where I'm going to react to the final hour of SmackDown while talking about the first 2 hours of SmackDown. I took me about 20 minutes to talk about what happened on SmackDown before the main event. And during the main event, I just reacted very positively to a very standard tag match. So there was a lot of fun. So we do fun stuff over on FIFA Select. And I hope you guys will come and join. A lot of fun to be had there. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Sean will be back next week with all of his scoops and whatnot, and we'll talk about. He'll give us the report of how it was to be in the building and how it was seeing all the fun stuff. So until then, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you down the roads with Dustin Rhodes and Jeff Jarrett.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.